Word of God for us today is the gospel we heard from Matthew 17 on this Transfiguration Sunday. And let's meditate on God's powerful word today. Dear friends, one day Jesus climbed up on a mountain and he took his place between two men. And they talked with him about his leaving this world and leaving his life here. And a few of his disciples were there with him. And right there in the middle of that whole scene, on that mountain, Jesus showed his glory. It's greater than anything they'd ever seen before, greater than the changing of water to wine. It was greater than even raising dead Lazarus. It was glory that revealed who Jesus was and who Jesus is and who Jesus will always be forever and ever and ever. Right there on that mountain, just glory that just beamed out like brightness in the middle of the dark. It was so glorious and so powerful that even one of the men who was there couldn't help but open up their mouth and just say, this is the Son of God. But I should back up a little bit because today we're supposed to be talking about Jesus' transfiguration, and I was just talking about his crucifixion. When Jesus was crucified, he went up on a mountain, or we could call it a hill. And he took his place between two men, one on his right and one on his left. And they talked about his departure and leaving this world. One of the men mocked him for it. The other one had that beautiful prayer to him saying, Jesus, when you leave, remember me. Remember me when you go to your kingdom. And there were a few of his disciples there on that mountain, Apostle John and a few of the faithful women. And right there in the middle of that scene, Jesus showed it. He showed his glory. He showed it when he gave that perfect and beautiful and eternal life of the Son of God, and he gave it as a loving and perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. He showed glory on that day, on that hill, greater glory than anything the world had ever seen before. It was glory so great that it was enough to pay for the sins of every single person who had ever lived in the world. And it was glory so beautiful that a man on that day saw Jesus hanging on that cross and he couldn't help but say, surely this is the Son of God. But Jesus' transfiguration day was a lot different than his crucifixion day, wasn't it? It's a lot more glorious, right? If you were to pick a day in Jesus' life when it looked like he was the most glorious, I think we'd pick this one, right? A lot less blood, no pain, no suffering, no dying. This is the day when it looked like Jesus was his most glorious. I mean, there's the voice, the face shining, the bright light, the cloud, but after that all disappeared, Jesus' transfiguration day was much different than his crucifixion day, wasn't it? After all those things went away, the face faded and the clothes went back to normal and Moses and Elijah went home, the disciples were just heading back to their daily lives again, and they had a lot of confusion about what they just saw. They had a lot of wondering about how they should talk about what they just saw, and even if they should talk about it at all, Jesus told them not to. And it makes us think about a few things today too, I think. We want to see Jesus' glory. We want to see God's glory in our life, don't we? We want to see his power. We want to see that love shining in action in our lives. And sometimes you might look at your life and you might see it there. You might see success and blessing and love and think that things could not get better than this in my life. I see the glory. Other times you look around in your life or other people's lives and you don't see it. You see weakness. Frustration. You don't see the glory. But that's why on Transfiguration, on the mountain there and Jesus was transfigured, God spoke and continues to speak. God called out and continues to call out to people like you and me and says, if you want to see my glory, if you truly want to see that glory, don't look. Listen. Don't look. Listen. So let's listen again how that happened. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. The other gospel writers add some details too. Mark says that his clothes were brighter than anyone could bleach them, and Luke says that Jesus' face was as bright as lightning. So if you can imagine being on that mountain and then seeing something as bright as seeing lightning at midnight or looking at the sun at noonday, that's what the disciples saw when they looked at Jesus. But they saw something else when they were there too. It says, just then appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Moses and Elijah, as Pastor said, were two of the great prophets from the Old Testament. They were long gone by now, right? Moses had died 1,400 years before this, Elijah 800 years before this. But God used Moses to gather his people on Mount Sinai and give him his covenant there. And then God used Elijah to go after his people when they were straying and bring them back to his covenant. And God used both Moses and Elijah to speak powerfully about God's word, to speak the truth about God's anger over sin, and then to speak the truth about God's promise of a Savior. And Moses and Elijah talked to Jesus about all of it right there on the mountain. Talked about how Jesus was going to do all of that. And that's what the disciples saw. And when they saw Jesus talking with Moses and Elijah, Peter chimes in and says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud began to speak. Just like in our first reading, it was like when God came down on Mount Sinai and he spoke to his people in that cloud called the glory of the Lord. And here he is again now coming down on his disciples and speaking in a cloud, the glory of the Lord. And here's where it all takes a little bit of a twist, though, right? Because the Father's voice said, this is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Well, God sure writes the Bible differently than you and I would. Right? I mean, here's Jesus' face shining. His clothes are beaming. Moses and Elijah, two of the greats. There's a cloud. There's a booming voice. But the Father says, listen. He doesn't say, just look at my Son. Look at his glory. If you ever doubted who he was, look at him right now and you'll know who he is. God doesn't say, just look at the power and strength coming from my Son. If he can do that right now, just think what he can do for you when you're going through a hard time. God says, listen, don't look. Listen. And to understand why, all you need to do is fast forward about 6 months in Jesus' life. Those same disciples who saw this, and they knew this, the same ones, they were also there on the night when Jesus was praying on the Mount of Olives, on the night he was betrayed, and an army of soldiers came in and arrested Jesus, and those disciples said, looks like it's hopeless, and they ran away from Jesus. And the next morning, Judas Iscariot, he looked at the man who he had betrayed and now was condemned to death, and he thought to himself, look at what a mess I've made. Surely there can be no forgiveness for this. And he walked away from God forever. And later on that day, there were a few disciples gathered around the cross. Again, the Apostle John, some of the faithful women. And they looked and they saw that bloody, bruised and beaten man hanging on the cross. And they thought to themselves, this does not look like the one he had hoped we thought he would be. And they ran away from Jesus and hid behind locked doors. And I know it's tempting for you and I to think, oh, if you could just reach into Scripture and shake those disciples and say, you knew. He told you. All you had to do was listen to him. He told you what was going to happen. You saw who he was, and he told you what to expect and when to expect it. You just didn't listen. Except for every time that I need that reminder in my life, too. Every time I need God to just say, John, don't look. Listen. Because your life, well, you look, what your eyes show you, what you look around in your life and see, your eyes aren't lying to you, right? What's happening to you in your life is really happening. And it's hard. And you look and there's a pile of bills and a mountain of debt, and it's hard not to think to yourself, well, it looks like I'm on my own. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. A temptation that you struggle with again and again, it feels like you almost beat it. You finally got control of it, and then you just, one moment of weakness, and it's got you again and drags you down. And it's hard not to think, look at what a mess I've made. How could anyone in my life, let alone God, forgive someone who sins like this again and again and again and again? And you look at your life. The body that doesn't get better. The relationships that don't heal. The home that you cringe to go home to. Maybe it's the life that you plan that's not turning out how it's supposed to be, and you stamped your amen on 1,000 prayers asking that things would get better, things would be changed, and you know God has the power to do it. You can see that power, and he doesn't. And it's very tempting to think, looks like God's not going to do anything to help me here. It's times like that that we need that reminder, right? We need to listen. Don't look. Just listen. On the day of Jesus' crucifixion, there was a man who understood that better than anyone. That Roman centurion, right? As he stood at the foot of Jesus' cross, he saw everything that everyone else saw. He saw 1,000 crucifixions before. He knew what was going to happen. He knew where this was going. And yet he listened on that day. He saw what the disciples saw, but he chose to listen. He looked and saw a man who was suffering more torture and pain than anyone who he could even imagine. And he looked and he saw that man turn to the people killing him, and he listened as Jesus spoke, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And that centurion saw that same man then turn to a criminal hanging on the cross next to him who was facing a life sentence, or a death sentence, I should say. And he heard him, he listened to him speak those unbelievable words, right? I tell you the truth. Today, before the end of the day, before the sun sets, you're going to be with me. I'm going to take you home to heaven. He looked and he saw that same one who, by anyone's estimation, anyone's judgment, had been abandoned and forsaken by God. But he listened as Jesus prayed that most beautiful of prayers. Father, it's finished. I commit my spirit into your hands. The centurion saw what he saw, but he paid attention to what he heard. He listened, and when he listened to the voice of Jesus, he saw the glory of God. He saw the love of God, and he said, surely, this is the Son of God. That's why God wants us to listen to. When Jesus was on that Mount of Transfiguration, let's go back to that mountain for a moment, and he was talking with Moses and Elijah, the gospel writer Luke adds this little detail about that conversation. He says, they spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. What's his departure? What's he talking about that? It's his leaving, right? His leaving this world. And certainly his crucifixion and his death were a part of that, but not all of that. His death on the cross paid for the sins of the world. But it was his empty tomb and his resurrection where he showed that he was Lord of life and he could forgive the sins of the world. And it was 40 days later, his ascension to the right hand of the Father, that the disciples saw that Jesus was ruling the world. It was all those things, right? That's what they talked about. It was how God used both the cross and the crown, both of those together to bring about the salvation of our souls. Jesus' suffering and his death, it paid for our sins. But Jesus' empty tomb and his ascension, it gave proof that God is in control of our life and he is with us and he is ruling all things for us. And that's still how God works today. God delights to use both the painful cross in your life and the glorious crown to show you his glory. And if it doesn't look that way in your life, if all you do is look around and you see the painful cross, the disappointment, the frustration, and the pain, God gently calls to you today, don't just look. Listen. Don't just look. But listen. Maybe listen to some words of God from Romans where God says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For if God is for us, who can be against us? If God did not spare his own son, but he gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? God uses the cross in our life to reveal those sins in our life, to reveal that evil, to lead us to repent and to drown that sinful nature in us. But if you're having a hard time seeing anything else, if you're looking in your life and you just see the sin and the shame and feel the guilt and the pain, God says, don't just look, listen. Listen to God where he speaks things like, this is how God showed his love among us. He gave his only son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Or this is how we know God loves us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Jesus, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, has purified us from all sins. And how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and this is who you are. God uses the cross in your life to reveal that glory. But not just the cross. He uses the crown too, the hope and the glory and the promise of a home in heaven. If you look at your life and maybe you're thinking, why am I still here? What good am I doing? Or what meaning can God possibly have with this life right here? Well, then don't just look. It's time to listen again. Maybe listen to the words Jesus spoke as he was ascending to heaven. And he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Jesus is saying, I'm not going to leave you. I'm right there with you, always. I'm with you, and your life has meaning, all of it. Not just for missionaries on foreign countries or who are sharing the word there. You, dear Christian, Jesus says, I'm using your prayers, your life, your suffering, your words, your actions, when you share your faith and your hope and the glory to come with your neighbors and friends and the community around you. Jesus says it all has meaning. I'm using you until the day I call you home and bring you home to heaven with me. That's where you see the glory. Not by looking, but by listening. Disciples saw some glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. It was pretty amazing. But that glory was temporary. All faded away. We know this, right? We know that at the end of that little event, Jesus' face turned back to normal. His clothes did too. Moses and Elijah went home to heaven, and then the cloud dissipated, and the voice was just a distant echo. It was gone. Jesus and the disciples came back down the mountain, and they went back to their daily lives. But 6 months later, a cross was coming for them. But not just a cross, also an empty tomb. And Jesus ascending, a crown. And for each and in each one of those individual disciples, in their own time, on that own day, when Jesus himself would come down and take each of them by hand and carry them home to heaven too. And you know, along the way, I'm sure they had their ups and downs. Sometimes they struggled and sometimes they fell down. Sometimes they did a lot more looking than they did listening. But day by day in their life, day by day, Jesus was right there with them to help them grow and to learn the lessons he was teaching them, that if you want to see God's glory, don't just look, listen. That's what Jesus is doing in your life right now too. He loves you that much. He's never going to stop doing that. Sometimes you're going to feel like you're on the mountaintop, other times in the valley. But no matter what, in all of it, wherever you are in life, don't just look around you. Listen. Listen to all the promises of your Savior, Jesus Christ, and you will see all of his glory, the glory of God's love for you. So whether you're on the mountain or in the valley, it won't matter then. When you're listening, then you can join your voice to the choir of and the chorus of Christians and the family of God all around you. Those who, when they don't just look but listen to the voice of Jesus, say, Lord, it is good for us to be here. God grant it. Amen.